comes and takes up from where he stopped. So we're really living in the time of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But we need to understand what he's doing so we can cooperate with him, so we can benefit from his ministry. Otherwise, we'll be at cross purposes with him. So we've been emphasizing that the Holy Spirit reveals to us the benefits of the cross. He reveals to us the benefits of what? The cross. For instance, he said to us, if righteousness comes by the law, he said Christ died in vain. He's saying that righteousness only comes through the death of Jesus Christ. He told us that we've been set free, that by his death, he set us free from the powers of Satan. He told us that the power of sin has been crucified on the cross. He told us that we are not what we used to be, that we are now new what? Creations, created in the image of God, in true holiness and stuff like that. He told us that never again will be under curse, that the curse has been destroyed. He became a curse for us, that the blessings of Abraham will become our own. He moved us from shame to glory. He said before we were sons of Satan, we were children of the devil, but now we are children of God. Oh, there's no way anybody would have known this except that the Holy Spirit began to tell us what happened on that cross. Now, the reason that, and then the Bible teaches us that that's really the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. Again, like I was trying to explain, we're not talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we are the temple of what? Who lives where? In us. So we're talking about his ministry in us. That's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit at all. This is the ministry that he does for everybody who has Christ, who has him. And so 1 Corinthians 2:12 tells us, confirms to us that this is the ministry, really, of the Holy Spirit. It says, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs. I'm reading Amplified. But you can put New King James if you want to. New King James Version is okay. If you want to. That is 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. When we, 1 Corinthians 2:12. First, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's. Read it from here. Is that Amplified? So leave Amplified. Let me read Amplified. He said, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us. Why was he given to us? That we might realize. What does it mean to realize something? Understand. That we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on who? On us by God. So the Spirit of God, his ministry is so that to help me and help you realize and understand all these gifts. And I keep going back to this thing. All these gifts that have been so freely, so what? Freely and how? Lavishly bestowed on us by God. What does it mean that, and they call it divine favor and blessing. It's favor. What is a favor? What is a favor? Something what? If you merit it, is this still a favor? So why do we really want to merit it? We do all this stuff thinking that it's favor. It will always be favor. It was favor then, it's still favor today, will be favor forever. And then it is freely what? Given. So why do we want to pay? And it is bestowed on us lavishly. Jesus said, I've come that you have life and have it barely. How? Lavishly. Lavishly. Everything God gives us is in abundance. Lavishly. Beyond what you can imagine or think or pray about. Lavishly. Can we say that? Say it louder. Come on. Lavishly. You see, then that's part of the reason when we pray, we ask small things. Because we ask and say, if God will do this one, I will manage. That kind of mindset is not a Christian mindset. In other words, let me have mercy on God. I don't want to finish everything he has. So, Lord, if you can do this one, I will manage the other one. This is why. No. He gives us how? Lavishly. How does he give? Can you bankrupt God? Try. Praise the Lord. So, he says, bestowed on us by God, what's the next line? The next line. And we are setting this truth forth in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths. So what we're teaching here is not biology, it's not psychology, it's spiritual truths that we're talking about. Spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess what? Why? Because they're the ones that can have this realization of all of this. However, unfortunately, many people who have the Holy Spirit do not even understand what we're talking about. It's a tragedy. And so we went on to say that if I have time, that will help me. If you can put my time up there, it will help me a lot. It helps me to plan, know where I'm going. If we neglect these truths that the Holy Spirit is revealing to us, I'm telling you, even though they are true for us, we will not realize them. If we don't realize them, they won't be our experience. Even though they are true for us, we won't realize them. If we don't realize them, they will not be true. It doesn't fall on your laps. And again, it is to be regretted that greater body, members of the body of Christ have no idea what I'm talking about. Not to talk of realizing them. And Peter was saying, he said, all these things have been given to us through Christ, all things that pertain to life and what? I say, but if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, if you are not experiencing them, he says it's because you are blind. He said, because you're blind, you're not seeing anything. And you have become oblivious. You have forgotten the fact that you were saved. The fact that you were saved on the cross and all these things about the gospel, you have forgotten them. They don't mean anything to you. You discounted them in your life. He said, that's the reason that you don't have this fruit. Because if I gave you this, and from this, everything will come. But because it looks like pepper, and you don't see how, drop it. You know what you have dropped? Everything that comes from you. That's what you dropped. That's what Peter is saying. He said, if these fruits are not in you, it's because you are blind. You don't see what God has done. And you don't understand. You have forgotten you are saved. The gospel means nothing. All this, the Spirit of God came to reveal to you. You think it's nothing. You know, it's so amazing that somebody listened to these teachings, but then listened to me, far away Lagos, and called me. He said, Pastor, you are teaching about the fruits of the Spirit. He said, without even saying I'm teaching on the fruit. He said, that's exactly what you're teaching. I said, sure. And he said, wow. He said, I hope those people there understand what they're teaching. He said, this is deep revelation. Brethren, if you neglect these things, if you forget them, tell me, if I forget them, for instance, how else will I experience? It's like the seed you were given, you just threw it away. And God has no other plan to provide those things. So Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 warns us as Christians. It's a serious warning. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. What is to give heed? Obi, what does it mean to give heed to something? To pay what? Is there any other word for giving heed? Huh? To listen. Pay attention. It's not just listen, but to listen very attentively. Again, when the Spirit of God tells us something, do we really think we have any other means of doing it? Everywhere you read in the Bible, you find the Spirit of God telling the Christian, pay attention to what I'm saying. Give your ears to what I'm saying. Listen to me. He that has ear to hear, let him hear. He said, hey, church, listen to what the Holy Spirit has to tell you. Listen. Then in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest, which means comparatively, if there's anything we listen to in this world, this is the one we give more sincere attention. Why? Because this is what gives you everything God has for you. He says, give more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. He said, the reason, if you don't, lest at any time we should slip. At any time you slip from them. Out of sight. Out of where? Mind. Brethren, let me tell you the truth. The many struggles we have as Christians is because of this issue. If you understand these issues and live on it, your struggles will come to end. You live in peace. Not when you know what God has accomplished for you. Not when you know that. You'll not be staggered. And you are not looking for another method to produce what God has already done. Because it's already accomplished. You take your stand. Verse 2. Hebrews 2:2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? Is the question. If we neglect this great salvation, the Spirit of God is talking. So how do you hope to escape the corruption of sin? How do you hope to escape the corruption of Satan? How do you hope to escape? Do you have any other means of escape? So we can't neglect this salvation. Romans, 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 1, that 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's 15, Paul said that we live by this gospel. He said, if you hold it like the heaven, he said, this is what you live by. So we read Deuteronomy 4, 23. In Amplified, where God is warning Israel, take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. So when we forget this covenant, that Jesus said, this is the covenant between God and you, established on my blood. If we forget the benefits of this covenant that God has made with us through Christ, he says, we are going to make for ourselves a graven image in the form of anything that we think will help us, save us from sin. We're going to make it because we know we need to get out of this thing. We're not getting out. We're not getting out. So we're going to, because we are born again. We know that, everybody knows that, look, you know that your life is not what it should be. So you are going to try to fathom whatever out, to take whatever, trying to, so that you can wriggle out of it, get yourself out of this pit. And then you begin to listen to formulas. But the Holy Spirit said, give more earnest heed to these things that I'm what? Telling you. Because that is the truth that Jesus is talking about. That if you continue in it, then you will know it. And when you know it, then you walk free. We live in a lot of perplexities, brethren. I'm sorry, but that's true. A lot of perplexities. See what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Pay close attention. See, this is Jesus talking. Pay close what? Attention to what you hear. This is Jesus talking. He said, don't talk with this thing. Pay close attention to it. Now, if I don't do that, who will I blame? God? Can't blame God now. He said, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be giving, and you will receive more. Continue. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be what? Given. But for those who are not listening, they're not listening. They think it's not important. Ministry of the Holy Spirit is not important. You have any other person? Those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be what? Taken away from them. You know, God has a way of talking. He's talking to me. He said to me, he said, do you know why people come under the curse when they don't pay the tithe? I said, Lord, the Bible says so. He said, no, because they are thieves. He said, because they are thieves. He said, when you start stealing, you are committing sin and the devil will deal with you. He said, because they are thieves. So they make platform for the Satan. He said, when you're under the influence of Satan, you're not under the curse. He said, that's what happened to them. He said, what Malachi wrote is still working in the New Testament. Because anything that will give the devil a platform in your life, you better do what? Close the door. He said, they are thieves. They are stealing. They are stealing my money. That's what they're doing. Yep. I wasn't even thinking of tithe, you know. I wasn't even thinking. He said to me, he said, how can any Christian read the Bible and not see that they should tithe? He said, tithe is the money that belongs to me. I said it before grace, during the law, after grace, still belongs to me. He said, yeah. He said, the Christian walk on their course because he's a thief. So that's why I told the founder of Foursquare, I called her a thief because that's what she is. I told her, I said, you are a thief. He said, me? He said, yeah. You are stealing my money. You don't pay tithe. You are stealing my money. And he said, whether you steal from church, steal from government, steal from individual, steal from God, you are a thief. So we must pay close attention to these things that the Holy Spirit is telling us. Look at 2 Peter 3:17. I wish I have time to tell me why. If I have time, it helps me organize. Sometimes I jump things because the time is good. If I don't have time, I can be with 1.4. But please, try and give me time. It helps me a lot. Even if it's with the iPad, let me have time. 2 Peter 2:17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware. Beware, lest you also fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Who is the wicked? The devil and his people. Being led away from the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, don't be led away from the message of grace and the knowledge of Christ. He said, this is what the wicked do. They lead you away from it.
said, don't be led away from it. He said, you rather grow, increase. How do you increase? Jesus told us, if you listen to what I'm telling you, more will be what? Giving you. If you focus and listen and want to know this truth, more will be given you. Because your task will be filled. More will be given you. But he said, if you are not listening, it's not important to you. He said, even the one you have, you forget it. It won't work. It won't work. I'm telling you, it won't work. Amen? I said amen. So we need to sow this truth in our heart. We need to take this word that the Holy Spirit is revealing to us about Christ and what God fulfilled for the church. We need to take those truths so in our heart. That's the seed that will produce the reality of what God did on the cross. All the things, all the benefits we have on the cross, you have to take that truth that the Holy Spirit is showing you. You see what God did for you here. This is your benefit. You have to take the seed, that truth, and sow it where? In your heart. That's what they wrote in the book of Proverbs. He said, keep it what? High. And keep it before. He said, if you find it and keep it there, it will be life to you and health to all your flesh. It will be life. It will create that life that God wants us to have. It will produce that life. So the more I understand it, the more my faith in this is what? Growing. The more my understanding is what? Growing. The more the seed is growing. And the seed will now sprout out on its own. It sprouts out on its own. It comes out on its own. What did I say? Comes out what? On its own. Because in that truth is the power to set you free. In that word is the power of God. In that truth is what you need that the Holy Spirit can work on. Is that truth? Thank you. So Jesus explained it to us in the parable of the growing seed. Where I said the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Is it Matthew or Mark? Mark 4, verse what? It's not 36. Well? Mark 4, 26. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed where? That's not what I'm reading here. Yeah, that's true. 27. Please watch 27. This is the Lord Jesus talking. Please watch 27. This is the Lord himself. Night and day, while he is what? Why he is what? Why is it why he's asleep? There's nothing he can do. That seed has life in it. Jesus said, the word I speak to you, they are what? Spirit, and it is what? Life. Allow it grow. Don't bother with it. He says, night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. He just sees the word come out. But all he did was to put it inside the soil. Can you take the word of God too and put it inside your heart? It has the mechanism. If God tells you something, believe it. It has the mechanism to produce that thing. It won't come back void because it's on a assignment. It has the Bible says it shall become life, which means if I was a criminal before, if they turn me around, and I start being what? Has the ability to produce life. It's a seed that germinates and grows after its nature. After its nature. After what? Its nature. After its nature.
See, that's what I was saying on Sunday. That when you take our children and send them to Nigeria to be trained, and we use fear and intimidation and flogging and beating. So we are training them. We are driving evil inside. So out of fear, because you will kick him or punish him, he will present what you want to see. You have now made him a hardened hypocrite. A trained, smart hypocrite. He will come before you and act. But when you turn your back, his real self comes. And listen to me. When he gets old, when your cane is taken away, when you are beating him, he's taking away his real color shoes. He comes out. The first person he will challenge is you. I'm telling you this. Because fear has never done anything. They say in my place, they say the advice you give yourself is the best what? Advice. And you give it with understanding. So the word of God will give you an understanding, give you a revelation, show you things that is not from your mind, great and mighty things which you do not understand. And by knowing that, you now convince yourself that this is not the way my life should be. This is the way it is now. This is the way it is now. This is the way what? It is now. Who made it so? God did it on the cross. That's what it is. I don't forget the story of from New York. It's a young man who was struggling with some habit. And they said he was such a disciplined young man because he was doing all these things they do to this. Is it? They sit yoga. You know yoga? I don't know how they do yoga. I think they sit down and cross and close eyes. My friend, don't do those things. You contact demons. Don't do those things. You contact demons. Let me tell you, you don't want to contact demons. You get yourself a real spiritual battle. You don't want to. Don't talk with those spirits. I'm begging you now. Look, you have enough. Don't talk with them. I'm begging you now. Don't talk with them. Keep growing in your own faith. I'm telling you now, don't talk with those things. They're dangerous. So disciplined, but the thing continued to happen. So he was trying all these Asian things, and you know, the thing was happening. Until one day, somebody preached the gospel to him and told him that, you know, God did everything to change us on the cross. Oh, he said, if anything that will change me is what I want, because I've been struggling with this. So yeah, if Jesus died, and if you accept him, you're a new creature. The boy did. And the desire never came back. It's not no more struggle. I used to have that in my laptop, but I don't know how I lost it. So I had this name, everything details. No more struggle. Why? He believed it with all his heart. Believed it with all his heart. Praise the Lord. So my time has gone. My destiny people gave me, I don't know how to turn it on. It's off. It's worked away on me. Okay, it's back. All right. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? Do not discount what Jesus did. There's no other salvation. There is no other way of deliverance from anything evil that God has for you. There is no other plan. There is no other way to divine blessings except through Jesus Christ and what he accomplished. There is no other way. There is no other way. And that covenant was established, ratified by his blood. God said, I'm doing this with you on basis of covenant. So it's not a contract. I say, why? It's because I love you. If we forget these things, we will either be suspicious of God or afraid to accept what God has said, or look for how to pay God for it. It won't work. It won't work. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So all you need to do is to take the seed and do what? Sow it there and water it. Meditate on it. The word. Meditate on it. The missing link is we don't find time to meditate on the word. We don't even have time to do a thorough Bible study in 1 week, in a week, in 7 days. We just read the Bible. But that's the source of your miracle. That's the source. That's the source. That God said, take an seed, listen to these things. Sit down and do a thorough Bible study at least 2-4 times a week. Thorough Bible studies. I don't mean just glancing the Bible and reading a few verses and rush. I mean do thorough Bible studies and do references and then let the Spirit of God take you through scriptures and show you scriptures and show you scriptures and relate it to your life. Relate it to your life. Because what he told us is to study, to show yourself what? He didn't say read. He said study. If I ask, how many of us have really can say that we really do thorough Bible studies on our own? Or some of these teachings, take it and listen to it over and over. Do you know if you listen to these teachings over and over, you hear some things you didn't hear today? You say, whoa. So, and when I listen, look, what I do is, do you know what they call? Forgotten the word I used to use. I soak a message. I can listen to a message 2-4 weeks. Sit there. I listen to it, go to bed, listen to it. Because there's something still coming for me there. And I listen to it until I soak it, until I drain it. It's like draining water until I drain. And these things, you don't be in a hurry. It takes a while. It takes a while. Things of God, they're not in a hurry. It takes a while. If you really want to do any meaningful thing with God, go and buy patience. Otherwise, it won't work. I was telling my wife in the night, I said, there are trials at last. They really last. And the Christian is baffled. But the Bible says, don't count it. The county joy, don't be surprised. I said, if trials, if it's really a trial, it lasts. It does last. I said, read the whole Bible. You know, when we read about the apostles and the miracles they did, we think they were doing it all these things every day. It's not true. That Bible was a span of so many. Sometimes they didn't see anything. And the Bible said, these miracles God will do as he wills, when he wants. They were not switching it on and off. There wasn't anything anytime they meet miracles properly. No. No. They too had their own issues. So if we really want to benefit from these things, it will require a patient study, a patient seeking, patiently praying. Then God will know that this is important to you. Then God will open your what? Because that's the treasure of heaven. I will open your eyes. I remember my mentor told the story how he got a revelation about something. He said he couldn't sleep. He said, I'll lie down to sleep. I get so excited. He said, well, I get up, I start running around the room. I said, wow, this is amazing. He said, I just worship God. I go to bed to sleep. He said, I can't sleep. He said, I got so excited, I'll get up and start running around the room. He said, you can't believe how many times I'll get up, just excited. He said, but I've been reading this Bible. It's like something, poof. And I saw the marvelous thing in this thing. I saw the glory in this thing. I'm like, wow. And sleep left. Brethren, I pray that we'll get to that level of revelation. Amen. I said amen. Now, the guidance of the Holy Spirit is where I'm heading. Talked about the fruit of the Spirit, how this life comes through the seed of the gospel, the truth, and every other thing that God did for us on the cross. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is what produces discipleship. Disciple is a follower. The followers of Jesus were called disciples because they are following him around. So if we want to be a disciple, then we follow Jesus around. It's important for the fruit of the Spirit. Actually, it's important for everything we have to do with God. Because all he's saying is come walk with the Holy Spirit. To have a walk with the Holy Spirit is so crucial because we need him. We need him every minute. You can't afford, and I cannot afford to walk away from him. We can't do that. So the guidance of the Holy Spirit is not just, where to walk, who to marry. Yeah, it's for that. But I'm looking for a word. Some other beneficial, let me remove the word more. Some other beneficial part of it is to walk with God. The guidance of the Holy Spirit, doctor, come. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is to do what? Walk with the Spirit of God. That's what it is all about. It's to have fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the what? And the fellowship is what together Jesus' disciples when, you are Jesus today. Okay, if Doc is Jesus, I'm a disciple, and he's going, what do the disciples do? Follow him. Then he turns here. What do the disciples do? Then what of the one that goes here? The guidance of the Holy Spirit, brethren, let me repeat that. It's not just for who to marry. It is so that you walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You are partner with God. You walk in fellowship. And you need him. You need him. And the only way you can walk in fellowship with him is the way Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, followed him. There was a time he told them, he said, you people cross, get into the bush. And cross. They didn't want to cross. The Bible said he forced them. He insisted. He said, you must go. He insisted. He said, you get into this boat. And they got into the boat and ran into a storm. Big storm arose. Yep. And while the storm arose, here comes Jesus walking on the water. And Peter blabbed out, if it is you, Lord, me what? And Jesus said, come here, jumped out and started, without thinking, started walking. The storm said, so you want to walk? Woo! And Peter said, oh my God, I'm forbidden. And Jesus said, why did you doubt me? If I tell you to walk, to come, you are safe. I can't instruct you to do something that will destroy you. So, Jesus pulled him up and left him. Read your Bible now. Jesus didn't hold him. He pulled him up and left him. And Peter walked on water again. Now in fellowship with Jesus. And they walked on water. And the storm was still there. But this time, Peter wasn't there. Why? If I walk through the valley, shadow of death, I shall fear. Why? Because thou art with me. If you don't understand the value of the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you walk through the valley of shadow of death alone. Alone. And fear be with you. I'm telling you now. So that's why the Christian must know that we're not into pretense. We're not pretending to be holy. We're not trying to impress people. This is for real. This is for my life. Because there are many traps the enemy sets. There are many walking through the valley of shadow of death. I need him. Praise the Lord. And our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the way he lived his life. He walked with his Father. Look at John 5:19. John 5:19. So Jesus explained. What did he explain? I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing. So while I was walking with Doc, and I know that I can do nothing by what? How desperate will I be to be in his company? Extremely desperate. And what keeps me in that company is to do what he tells me to do. This is the direction I'm going. You go this way. That's what keeps me there. If you like, pray 100 hours. What keeps you there is to walk the way it's working. Period. Follow the way it's working. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only. How many things? Only. What he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also. Why? I need to be in close fellowship with him. And he said, my Father has not left me. Because I do always those things that he tells me to do. He said, he has not left me. Because I'm always following him. Following him. So he has not left me. And can I tell you something? I want you to listen to me. Listen, I want to come closer and ask. I want to tell you this. This is the secret of the anointing of God. This, if you want to walk in the anointing of God, you have to walk in the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This is the secret. It's not prayer. If you pray and you don't walk in his what he told you, you're on your own. The secret church is walking in fellowship with him, being led by him, be guided by him. Then when you pray under his instruction, you pray under his anointing. I was telling my wife a story that Oral Roberts in Kenny Copeland got into their school of late. I mean, he was old when he got admission. He was 30-something years old. When he, I think 30-something or so. It was late when he went to their school to start the college. And he said he was going up the steps and the Lord stopped him literally. Brother, let's have experience with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it's not for special people. The Lord stopped him. He said, you know what I mean, stop. So I couldn't move. And he said, I told you to get back into the elevator and go to the 5th floor. And he said, Lord, they said that students don't cross the third floor. So we're not supposed to pass the 3rd floor because the 4th floor and 5th floor is for the staff. And he said, go to the 5th floor. They all work for me. I'm the boss. He said, yes, sir. He said, they work for me. So you go up there. So he said, he got up there. Listen to this. Guidance of the Holy Spirit, interesting thing. Oh boy, very interesting. He got up there and got out the elevator and went to receptionist. And the receptionist said, who are you? He said, I'm Kenny Copeland. He said, what are you looking for? He said, I was told to come here. So you're looking for who? He said, maybe see the director. Can you imagine freshman? He's not supposed to pass the 3rd floor and he wants to see the boss. What for? I don't know. I was told to come up here. And as we were talking, here comes, what's his name? Oral Roberts. See how the Spirit of God works. Oral Roberts was coming with the director of studies. And then the session says, sir, I said, this young man said he wants to see you. And he said, okay, who are you? He said, I'm Kenny Copeland. He said, what do you want to see me for? He said, I just got admitted here and I'm a pilot, a licensed pilot. Oh, he said, oh, wow. He said, you come in. He said, we just got a plane and the Lord told us not to hire a pilot. I'm sending one. So I'm sending one. They don't hire any pilot. I'm sending one. And here comes the pilot and the Lord said, go to 5th floor. Come on, go up there. I said, they all work for me. And then at that moment, he brought this man out of his office. And both of them met. And he said, I'm a licensed pilot. He said, wow, so you're the one. Okay, so you work for the school. We pay you. And then we reduce your school fees. And that's how he paid the school fees. Pilot, carrying them everywhere. You know what I'm trying to say? You know, it will be easy to go and hire a pilot, but not the one the Lord wants. And you feel a sense of, okay. But God says, no, I'm not in that one. You see, when these things are important to us, these kind of things become our daily experience. You know, they did forecast for snow for yesterday. And in the morning, I was mocking them. I said, these people, that's that, they just deceive everybody. I said, all these things they are talking about, no snow. I said, if I knew, I regret that sending, you know, post-canceling prayer meeting in the evening. I said, I would have waited the morning. I said, all these people, it's not good to follow them. You know, but I was started to console myself. I said, anyway, school is closed, business is closed, so I'm not the only one they deceived. So I was just, in fact, I called Chuka, and I was laughing at them literally. I said to Chuka, I said, do you have snow? I said, Pastor, I don't have anything. I said, these people just keep deceiving us. Do you know, as I finished talking, I looked outside, the thing was coming, it's like the thing had me. And something said to me, that's how you treat the word of God. When God tells you something, you want to walk by what? By sight. Instead of trusting the person that said it. He said, you want to see. Now I saw. And when I saw, it wasn't interesting at all. And then within 1 hour, I was glad we canceled prayer meeting. In fact, within 2 hours, I was so happy we did have no meeting. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. When God gives you some word, it may not happen immediately. Some of them don't happen immediately. I'm telling you. That's why I tell my wife, I say some trials and things linger. I say we can't explain. There are many things we don't explain. They linger. But God told you, you have this. He told Abraham, I made you a father of what? 25 years. Think about it. 25. And things were getting bad and bad and bad and bad. God kept quiet. And Abraham kept quiet. Think about it, brethren. If it's you or me, after 5 years, Abraham kept thanking God. He said, if he's God, if he said that, that's it. And that's what proves to God that we believe in him. It's not all this when the music is good, no. It's when the rubber meets the road, you can still stand and say, you are God Almighty. Let heaven fall, let me see. If you say this, that's what it is. And God said, yeah, you really believe in me. Amen. I said, amen. So Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Sorry, let me check my time again. All right. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Is it not that we too can do nothing by ourselves? Is it not that we have to listen to whatever the Lord says do? That's what he's doing. Because he's the one leading. Then look at John 5:30. He said, I can do nothing of myself. In the same chapter, he repeats it. I can do nothing of myself. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will, not my own will, not what I want, not my convenience, not the one that works for it. It is what he wants. Do you know the benefit of all this is? Read Psalm 23, you find it. The Lord is what? What does it mean to be a shepherd? He leads you. Then he tells all the benefit. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. You see what the guidance of the Holy Spirit does? That's when he's your shepherd, there's no want. Because he will lead you beside and takes you to green, because he only knows where they are. Only him knows where they are. But you know, I talked to some Christians, and I'm so surprised how we think that we're smart. I don't know how we got convinced that we're smart. And you're telling the person, why don't you allow God? Oh, Pastor. Pastor. And they spoil things. And come back to Pastor. Of course, they spoil things. Pastor, I need to come up. That thing you told me, oh, hey, Pastor, I should have done it. Back to Pastor. I wish they would not come back to me. Maybe they go back to Pastor Brothers and don't worry. That will solve my problem. I'm telling you. Look at what happened here. Matthew 16:22. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him. Now, Peter is reprimanding Jesus. He's telling Jesus, my friend, what are you talking about here? I'm an old man. You're a young man. Stop talking like this. Reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord. He called him Lord and reprimanded him. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. What will never happen? Going to the cross. Why did he come? Never happened to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me, church. When you walk in your own wisdom, you fall into the trap of who? Satan. Dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from human point of view, not from God's. That's what the trap that the devil sets. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish what? With all this doing things, your own wisdom. Take up your what? Cross and follow. What does it mean to take up your cross? Huh? You are not supposed to carry them. The Lord said, he said, put your burdens on me, not on you. He didn't tell you to carry burdens. He said, cast your burdens what? So that's not carrying the cross. What is carrying the cross? But you read this thing for years now. Didn't you ask the Lord, what does it mean? You know what the cross, you know carrying the cross, what it means? Is to take your ego out of the way. Take your ego out of the way. It's to destroy your ego. Because if you have ego, it will get in the way of your following God. To carry the cross is to take your ego, what? Out of it. You go to the cross and put your ego there. Take the ego out of the way. That's what it means to carry your cross. Because the cross is a place of total yieldedness to God. And I will show you in the Bible what it means to carry your ego, to carry the cross. Philippians 2:5. Let's see what it means to carry the cross. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which made God God, did not think this equality with God as a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Verse 7, he stripped himself of all the privileges and rightful dignity as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, and in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death where? That's carrying your cross. They say it was God. But the dignity and position of being God, he said he put it aside. He didn't demand his right as God. He came here and became, if he was a human being, that would be so. But he became less than a human being. He said he debased himself further and became a slave. tough one. Church, this is what? This is what we battle with, our ego. Because, you know, I'm a senior pastor, so you can't talk to a senior pastor. You know who I am? I'm the senior pastor. Jesus was God. Peter reprimanded him. And Peter was still his friend. Praise the Lord. Even denied him. But they still say, Peter, do you love me? Because I still love you. This is the issue. Family issues, family problems, is ego. Don't talk to me like that, it's ego. Brethren, let me tell you something. Jesus said, if you don't carry your cross like I did, you can't follow me. Because your ego will get in the way. It's impossible to be led of the Holy Spirit unless you yourself and I myself put our ego where? Aside. You know what we're unteachable? Ego. As the issue. Again, look at what Jesus said. In the same Matthew 16:25. If you try to hang on your life, if you try to hang what? On your what? What is your life? Who you are? If you try to hang on your life, who you are, you will lose it. But if you give up your life, give up your ego because of me, then you save it. Philippians 2:5. I'm showing you what the carrying the cross is. Philippians 2:5. Let this attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in form of God, possessing the fullness of attributes which God made God God, did not think his this equality with God was something to be eagerly grasped or retained. I read it before. But he stripped himself of these things. He carried disobedience to the extreme of death, even the cross. Verse 9. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. John 5:30. Therefore, because he's now John 5:30. I can't read this one up there. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me and not. So he set his will aside. That's set carrying your cross. You set your will aside. Keep your ego somewhere. I keep my ego somewhere. John 7:16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. My doctrine, what? My message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. I don't have any message for you. Say what he says. Then John 8:50. And I seek not my own glory. John 8:50. Can we read it together? John 8:50. Though I have no wish to glorify myself, God is going to glorify me. He is the true God. He said, I don't seek my own glory, which means I have no ego to protect. You know, my mentor said something. He said, if you accuse me that I killed my mother, he said, I will not bother you. So I just go to God and say, Lord, did I do it? God said, no, I said, I still love your mama. He said, I won't come to answer to try to protect myself. He said, I will not do that. He said, because that's what Jesus did. He said, when they reviled him, he did not revile back. He left the judgment to God who can judge. I've said it here. You can't read human mind. Can't sit up and say, this is why this person is doing this. You have no idea why. You have no idea why. Amen? I said amen. Somebody was telling me, Andrew Womack had a member that used, some family that used to come and listen to him. And they said for 2 weeks he didn't see them. So he thought maybe he said something that made them angry. So he gave them a word of knowledge. He said maybe it was wrong and they left. And then he was trying to go and apologize to them. And then they now showed up the third week. I said, Pastor, we had a death in our family. We went to bury somebody. That's why we didn't come. But he sat up here sweating. He was assigning motive to why they didn't come. Why somebody died. He says, I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. That's the important thing. 2 Corinthians 10, 18. When people commend themselves, it doesn't count for much. The important thing is for the Lord to commend them. Let me tell you a secret. The same people that commend you will turn around tomorrow and say, crucify him. So take these things with a pinch of salt. It's because we seek honor that comes from men. That's why we don't believe God. If we really threw our ego aside and seek only the glory that comes from God, then we'll be able to follow his every instruction. Otherwise, our ego will get into the way. And then Jesus said, I'll stop with this one. John 14:24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not even my own, but the Father who sent me. So number one, he said the message I teach is not my own. He said I don't judge; judgment is from God. He said the words I speak they are not also my own. He said I don't seek my own glory. He said, whatever I hear my father say is what I say. Then he said, whatever my father does is what I what? Does. That's what I do. He said, why? Because I can't do anything without him. So you see why the guidance of the Holy Spirit is key. He puts that thing into the hand of God. Why you just follow God? Praise the Lord. Did you get what I'm saying? We need to deal with our ego. Let's bow our heads. I want you to talk to God about yourself. Talk to God about yourself.